We'll network with the Rain Report for March 6, 2009 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to yet another edition of the Rain Report, a weekly service of Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, produced by Hap Holly, KC9RP. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. Have you missed a few Rain Reports along the way? You can listen to or transmit any of those you'll find posted since June 2006 on the archive page at therainreport.com. Networking is a buzzword that has been floating around for years. Ham radio has its own networks. Or does it? CQ magazine editor Rich Moseson, W2VU, posed this question in his February editorial. Hap Holly asked Rich to elaborate.
The basic bones of this editorial were bouncing around in my brain for several months, and the thought was based on the commercial for a certain wireless company where the person is followed around by five people and told that it's networked, sure service quality. And my first thought in seeing those was, well, ham radio works when that network doesn't. But then as I thought about it more, I realized that, first of all, the pictures told a different story than the words in the commercial. The words talked about the network as some entity, but the pictures were of people. It wasn't repeaters and antennas and cell sites. It was people. And a network of people is as important in ham radio as it is for cellular telephone service. And, you know, we have, that's what we count on is our people and being able to put people together, people with the right equipment, the right knowledge, the right training to do what is needed at the moment. People who can set up their own networks on the fly and get messages through. So looking at the images of that commercial, I realized that we're much more similar than different because we do rely on people to make our networks work. Plus, there's a lot more infrastructure to our networks these days. More and more of our communication, particularly emergency and public service communication, relies on a network infrastructure or repeaters to start with, and then more and more linked repeaters, and some of them are linked over RF, some of them are linked over the internet. We have Echolink and IRLP, which bring them together. So really, the network analogy, which I first thought didn't apply to ham radio, really does. That's what I wrote about.
Let's talk more about the actual network itself. How are they different, but how are they the same as the traditional cellular?
Well, the traditional cellular system is a fixed network, generally speaking. You have fixed cell sites, as we have fixed repeaters, and they link to each other. And, you know, the basic way a cell system works is it's a series of low-power transmitters that link together and automatically hand off your phone from one to the next as you travel. We generally don't have that kind of frequency hopping flexibility in our repeater systems, but we tend to use higher power systems so that you can cover a much greater area without having to change frequencies. But there's been a significant growth, at least here in the Northeast recently, in linked repeater systems. And they've been around for decades in the Southwest and in California. And there have been one or two along the East Coast until fairly recently. And the last 5-6 years or so, it seems that they are getting much more popular. And you have a linked system covering all of New York City, Long Island, northern New Jersey. You have another linked system around here that covers all of New Jersey up and down. More and more, you're running into these linked systems where you run into some very interesting things. You can have a net on one of these systems that allows you to have check-ins from a wide geographical area, from an entire state, for example, where 20 years ago, if you were having a state net, a statewide net, you'd have to be on 80 or 40 meters. And with the advent of these networked repeaters, that's not necessary anymore. It may be desirable at some point, but you have another option of using these networked repeaters to cover an entire state as opposed to only having 80 or 40 meter possibilities. Plus, of course, you have the internet linking systems, Echolink, IRLP, that can expand your reach really worldwide. I had a fascinating experience several weeks ago. I was invited to participate in a net that's in Connecticut, just out of my range for a direct signal. They also have an Echolink connection to the net through conference node so that other people can join in as well. This net basically had covered through RF a large part of New England, but adding in the Echolink connections really gave it worldwide range. And there were check-ins from Scotland and from Australia and from Alaska. And it was an amazing experience. And, of course, they were all FM quality. So I had never had any experience like that before. And I was able to talk with people virtually all over the world simultaneously.
That was the TIPSnet, right?
Yes. So there's a whole range of possibilities that is opened up by the networking of our repeaters. But, of course, it does require a network. It does require infrastructure. And I don't think it's ever going to replace HF, because HF will still work when there are problems with accessing the internet or problems with power for repeaters and things like that. But it's one more tool in our toolkit for being able to get communications through. But of course, all of this depends on the people who set it up, develop the software, maintain the systems, maintain the links, pay the bills, and nothing would be possible without the people behind the network, which brings us back to the visual images in the cell phone commercial.
Add to that arsenal now, we also have, of course, G-Star.
That's one more networking system, which is a combination of RF and internet, and that has, you know, its own separate network, again, with worldwide reach, although it's, you know, primarily within the U.S. at the moment for U.S. hams. There's networks in Japan and in other places that I don't believe have too much interconnection between them at the moment. But D-Star is opening new avenues for being able to not only have voice communications, but to send data at the same time. And, again, to be able to be portable and put together a network on the fly. Combination of analog and digital technologies are creating all sorts of new opportunities for us.
How much is HF being involved in the, if you will, interconnectivity of RF and hardware?
Well, HF is kind of difficult for doing these kinds of interconnections because of the nature of HF propagation that is so variable. You can't really sit on one frequency and know that you're going to be able to have a reliable path to some other place. And then, of course, you have the problems with automatic or semi-automatic transmitters that come up on various frequencies and seem to have trouble listening before transmitting. There's a lot of controversy over these semi-automatic or automatic systems and possible interference that they may cause to conversations that are already in progress. So HF has its own set of unique circumstances. But, of course, you do have WinLink and things like that that do use HF for sending messages and linking through the internet.
You do have a technology option, if you will, on HF, but it's really more digital as opposed to voice that we're talking about using Echolink, IRLP, and the like.
In what's out there now, yes, of course, you do have 10-meter repeaters. They don't get a lot of activity, and particularly right now, 10 meters is not the hottest place to be, especially the top end of it, but the sunspots will be coming back, and there will be propagation at 29 gigahertz, and there's no reason that you can't tie 10-meter repeater into any of these networks. There are a couple of systems that I'm familiar with that have 10-meter repeaters linked into their 2-meter and 440 repeaters. So if 10 meters is open to Europe, for example, and you're sitting at home on your HT on 440, you can get into one of these linked systems and talk to somebody in England or Germany if they're coming in on the 10-meter repeater. Technically, there's absolutely no reason for that not to happen. And those possibilities have been around for years and been being done for years.
I'm speaking today with Rich Moseson, W2VU, the editor of CQ Magazine, and we're talking about networks, both amateur and otherwise. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report. Rich, when you talk about repeater linking, that has obviously a cost factor to it in terms of hardware, time, labor, and what have you. We have the technology that's so much more readily available and reasonably priced compared to 10, 15 years ago. But we don't have the auto patch feature, which was a major source of income for many of these repeaters today. And now you see just in the Chicago area, some of the very wide coverage repeaters, machines, that have literally come down in coverage because they can't afford the rents that always have and will continue to be a challenge for various repeaters.
Well, that's a whole different set of challenges. A lot of repeaters that had been enjoying free space on commercial towers because of their emergency and public service activities have found themselves squeezed out because of heightened competition for space on those towers from the people who pay the bills for them, and they either have to pay market rent for them or leave, and a lot of them don't have the capabilities for that. But this kind of local or regional networking can be a solution to your wide area repeaters that may not be able to be up on the high place that they were before. That's what this network in New York City is doing. It has several lower, smaller coverage area repeaters that are linked together to give you the same coverage that you might have had from a wide area repeater without the rents involved in being in a very high location. Of course, you're then faced with having to purchase and maintain five repeaters instead of one. We've always encouraged people and still do encourage people to support their local repeaters and join clubs and help cover those costs. And obviously, in the rough economic times that we're in, it's going to be tough sledding for some to maintain them. And hopefully we'll all weather the storm pretty well, but it's definitely a challenge that we're all going to face.
With the networks that are being set up, the linking, if you will, of repeaters today, does that linking enable the ham community to more effectively establish ties and memorandums of agreement with local and commercial emergency networks, i.e. Red Cross, Salvation Army, and the like?
Well, obviously, we're not going to be able to have direct interties between a commercial network and an amateur network because of legal issues. But it adds to our flexibility in being able to provide assistance to those organizations or to our emergency management agencies. One of the first times I was on a linked system a couple of years ago, I was on a Saturn net, a Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. It was a statewide net for Jersey, and they covered virtually the entire state through Link Peters. This is an example of a net that once might have had to be held on HF that doesn't have that necessity anymore, and sometimes it's a lot easier to set up a VHF station than an HF station, especially if you're out in the field someplace. So that certainly adds to our value being able to communicate over a wider area. National Hurricane Center, of course, has tie-in to conference nodes on Echolink and IRL for linking in repeaters in areas that are affected by hurricanes in order for them to monitor directly what's going on in the local repeaters. So that's yet another area of added value to repeater linking. So the short answer to your question is yes.
Is there a database somewhere on the internet where someone can actually do some research to find out what linked systems are around, or is it pretty much scattered all over like everything else is on the internet?
I think it's pretty much scattered. If you have a call sign or a name of a group that has a particular linked system, you can usually find them on the internet. I haven't taken the time to do a search on any of the search engines on amateur repeater networks or linked repeater networks. Perhaps somebody might want to do that or might want to take the time to do the research and find as many as they can and create a database online of various networks that are out there with links to their homepages. It could be a useful service.
I've been speaking today with Rich Moses of W2VU, the editor of CQ Magazine. We've been talking about his editorial.
It's not the network, or is it?
That appeared in the February 2009 edition of CQ Magazine. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KCNRP in Chicago.
The Rain Report is heard every Sunday in the Scranton, PA area at 12 noon on the W3 EVW repeaters on 448.825 and 53.430 megahertz. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2009 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for all the geeks, goofballs, and all-around nice guys at Rain, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, bidding you all very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.